Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine. Today we are going to talk about improving your physical health and your emotional wellness. We have with us a special guest, Emily Francis, who is here to talk about her book, The Body Heals Itself. This book is a practical guide to understanding, healing, and activating your muscles on an emotional level. The book shows you how the muscles are storehouses for emotions and encourages you to use that information to let go of pain. Emily Francis has worked in corporate wellness and as an aerobic director, kickboxing instructor, and yoga instructor. She is a clinical massage therapist with extensive specialized training and the author of Stretch Therapy. Emily also holds a gold medal in the U.S. Open in Tai Chi form and a bachelor's degree in exercise science and wellness. So let's get started. We have a lot to talk about today. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being my guest today. Why did you write the book? Your book is The Body Heals Itself, How Deeper Awareness of Your Muscles and Their Emotional Connection Can Help You Heal. What was the impetus for writing this book?
This book started when I was in massage school back in 2003, 2004, and my teacher had made mention that the two most emotional muscles in the body is the longus coli, which is deep in the front of the neck, and the psoas, which is a deep hip flexor muscle. And I became instantly fascinated with that statement and what that meant. And I stayed after class, and I stopped, and I said, I have to know what that means, and how do people know that, and where can I buy the book? And he said, well, there isn't a book. This is just something that we kind of know instinctively as massage therapists, and we pass it down, but there's no book, there's nothing in writing about this. And so as I got out into the world of putting my hands on people, I started to kind of formulate my hypothesis on different areas of the body. And then as I started to meet with other body workers and other people in different fields, it all matched the same areas. And so I started compiling this over the last 14 years of my life. And it really has, it's been beneficial for my clients because, as we know, when you're working on the muscles, yes, there's a physical component, of course, but there is something deeper there. And releasing those emotions while you're having the muscles worked just correlates with the mind immediately, and it can get you down deep into some sacred healing much faster and much more, much deeper quickly. It's beautiful work.
It sounds wonderful. And as I was telling you before we went on air, this is a very, very beautiful book to my listeners. It's absolutely a gorgeous book, and it's so well done, so well written, and just so well executed. Gorgeous book. So are you saying that we can actually do this work on our own, or do we need the help of an educated therapist?
Well, I always think that going to an educated therapist is your best bet, but you can do a lot of this stuff on your own. You're not going to have there is a certain emotional release that happens, and what I refer to it as the emotional release. There is an opportunity for healing that you will cry your eyes out, your body will weep, and tears are the physical manifestation of pain leaving the body. You cannot put them back in once they've released. So to have a professional helping you to release all of those pent-up emotions that have been sitting dormant for so long that you didn't even realize your body was holding on to is magnificent and life-changing and can honestly lead to the most miraculous healings in the world. I have been privy to see true miracles happen. However,
wow.
You can do a lot of work on your own. You're not going to have that earth-shattering release by yourself, but you can have a lot of mini releases and a lot of – it does teach you how to work within yourself so that you can help. You are the one that knows what's gone on for you and what you're keeping secret. So when you do place your hands yourself or you stretch with intention or you follow, each chapter has a meditation and a visualization and things to offer for you and a stretch, things to offer to you to be able to treat yourself. So it's certainly available, but I cannot promise in any way, shape, or form that you're going to have the kind of level that you would have if somebody else were directing.
Okay. And are many people trained in this in order to assist people? How do they find therapists that can help them with this? Or is that your goal?
They're going to find therapists that specialize in energy work. Energy, let's say a healing touch practitioner, a Reiki practitioner, someone who has studied. You're not going to find somebody that just graduated from massage school. This is going to take somebody that has done extensive study in the field of body healing, energy healing. The energy part is your miracle place.
Okay.
Is the energy body.
Okay. So what is muscle memory, and how are the muscles related to emotions?
So muscle memory is a part of the brain that locks in movements that you do. That's a physical part. The muscle memory locks in. If you're a baseball player and you practice well, then you lock into your brain exactly what it feels like to hit it out of the park. You don't even have to have your eyes open. You know when you did it right. That's a physical thing. It's a muscle memory. But it's not just physical movements that lock into those muscles. That's why at the end of a yoga practice, you lay down for 5 minutes or more to absorb into your muscle memory the movements that you just did. But it also encompasses the feelings that are associated with whatever's gone on. And one of the things that was described to me, because I interview a lot of people for this book, and on the muscle memory portion, I interview a doctor of exercise physiology. And one of the things that he talked about was when it's something positive, like a sport or a practice, it locks into muscle memory over many, many repetitions. But if it's something traumatic, it only needs one. And then you instinctively know to flinch or to hide because your muscles have locked in that memory. So if you have something that's happened to you that is, you know, if you've been mishandled, if something terrible has happened to you, it's not just locked away in your mind. It's locked away in every part of the muscle and the body tissue.
Wow. That is so amazing to me. So amazing to me.
It's amazing, okay. But it's also common, like if you really think about it, how could it not be in the whole body?
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's accessed
right
through the tissue.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I recently put out a book because I do counseling for narcissistic abuse, and part of what I've learned in my healing is that there is a physical component to childhood abuse and other abuse. So I totally get it. It never fails to amaze me how complicated our body is, and just so it's so interesting. There's so much to learn. So in your book, you talk about stones and essential oils that pair with muscles or emotion. Can you just, like, give us some examples of that?
Certainly. Stones, gemstones and crystals, come naturally with healing properties. There are so many hundreds of listings even in the Bible about stones. There's a reason that stones have always been a part of the regal lineage or anything that the template, the breastplate, it's always been around. But let's take the most basic of the stones. The rose quartz is unconditional love and healing energy. It's a natural property inside this stone. So I always encourage people to keep a rose quartz near their chest to keep that love going. And your body deeply resonates with these. Even if your mind doesn't quite understand it yet, your body and the energy that sort of is emanated from these stones, they line up and they lock in. And so different stones come with different healing properties. And where you are at a certain time will lead you to pull different stones towards you. There's a stone called an Apache tear. And those were teardrops by people that were walking in that Native American old, the Cherokee line. And it's the teardrops of the people that were chased away out of their land. An Apache tear is something that you find when you are grieving, deeply grieving. And there's different stones for different reasons. And the essential oils are plant extracts, flower essences, and they're strong. That's why I say to do it in a diffuser just to be safe until you know more about it. But the essential oils, the different scents and the different properties also correlate with different emotions. So as basic as lavender is beautiful for stress. I like to put lavender in a diffuser at night for the children so that they can fall asleep, but it's a very subtle smell, so it's not overwhelming. If you did want to put lavender on your skin, you could put it on the bottoms of your feet or your temples to just help you calm and relax. And the different essential oils, again, come with different properties that line up with different emotions.
Okay. Okay, great. What is quartz crystal good for, just like clear quartz crystal?
A clear quartz crystal is wonderful at dispelling negative energy and protecting you. It's kind of a cleaner. It's a lineup. It helps the mind kind of center. And it is interesting that you say that because I'm wearing a necklace right now that has the clear quartz, the rose quartz, and the smoky quartz. And I like all three of them together because the clear quartz is that middle road. It's a protector. It's a cleaner. It helps the mind to center and balance. The smoky quartz helps to dispel negative energy. So if people come around you that overwhelm you, or I call them energy vampires, a smoky quartz is a wonderful stone to have so that you can be protected and to help move some of that energy out of your particular field. And then that rose quartz is that unconditional love energy that accepts and loves all without judgment. So the three of those together are so perfectly balanced for your heart space.
It said, the island of Atlantis, or the actually, continent of Atlantis, which is, we don't know if it's true or not, but it said that that whole island ran on a huge quartz crystal, that was what generated all the energy for the island. So it's
and there's
immensely
Lumerian
powerful.
Crystals. Lumerian crystals come out of Atlantis, too.
Yeah, and so often if I'm doing a show where it's very spiritually based, I'll set up crystals under my chair, and I usually do points, and then I have like a large amethyst in the center, and I get so hot. I generate so much energy from under my chair when I'm doing those shows. Okay. So,
I love that, by the way. That's a great setup, just so that you know, the points and then the amethyst. And I have to say, for body workers, if you are setting up stones under your table, my favorite stones to start and end, top and bottom, is the apophyllite crystal. And it keeps their energy away from yours so that you don't walk away exhausted. Or if somebody comes in with a headache and they talk about their headache and they leave without a headache and you have one, that apophyllite stone at the top and bottom of a table will keep you from taking that in.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so you mentioned protecting ourselves from negative energy. And I know that you talk about a couple of things like sea salt and mirrors and the white cloak, and you talked about crystals.
Yes.
How does sea salt help to protect us from negative energy?
Sea salt is the coolest, I have to say. It's an instant cleaner. It's instant. It is so pure of earth energy that it just cleans away anything negative. So some people keep a bowl of sea salt near their massage table to rub in between their hands after working on somebody. Some people keep sea salt under their bed at night so that when they come to bed, if they're stressed, the energy can fall down into the sea salt and be cleansed. Some people do salt baths, of course, to help your body detox. And those minerals, the minerals that's in salt, is so beautiful for the actual body to help it detox. And also, sea salt is a beautiful protector if you want to pour it around the perimeters of your home. It's just, it's a protector, and it's a cleaner.
So, you know, I used to love, I'm empathic, and I used to love to go to antique stores and consignment shops and everything like that. But I'd come home, and I was so just zapped. You know,
yeah.
And I thought I really believed I was picking up things and carrying them home with me. So I would put sea salt in a mister and stand outside and just mist myself all over the place. And then I'd dump it outside and go inside. And I would feel so much better. It
Isn't
was
it
just
amazing?
Sort of yeah, it is. It's
so fast.
Really
and it's
amazing.
So quick. And it's just, you can put it between your hands. Or even some people sprinkle it on top of their head. I mean, you can really do amazing things with sea salt. And I have to say, if it were me, if I were going into an antique shop, I would probably rub sage essential oil on the bottoms of my feet and on the inside of my wrists, in different areas, top of my head, just to keep myself protected as well, because sage is such a sacred herb to use to clear
wow.
anything that wasn't your own.
That's good to know. Okay, so you also talk about mirrors, and I know there's an exercise that I do where I'm in the center, and I have mirrors all around me, but I can see out, they can't see in. How do you suggest that people use mirrors as an imagery for protecting themselves from negative energy?
I actually would go both ways. I would use it as an imagery, and I would also encourage somebody to buy a little small pocket mirror like at Michael's Craft Store. And you can glue it onto like a little, you can make a necklace really easily out of a mirror. And, or you can pretend that you're wearing a mirror. Although I actually think wearing a mirror, and I have a necklace with mirrors, is very important. But if I wear the necklace with a mirror, I hide it so people don't know it's there. It's my own personal
okay.
protection. So I put it inside
okay.
my shirt or in a pocket. Or you can pretend, and it still does virtually the same thing. And on a side note, this is kind of interesting. I had a friend that made me a two-sided mirror necklace, and what it did is it reflected back what's in your own heart space so that you could actually feel yourself, and the other side reflected other people so it didn't come into you. And it was very interesting because at the time that he made it for me, to be honest, I was kind of in a really rough place. I was dealing with a lot of anxiety and things, and when I put that on, I felt calmer and more at peace than I had in so long that it actually made me realize what my heart space really was, which wasn't nearly as dark and damaged as I thought. I think what was happening is I was so sensitive to the outside energies that getting to just be alone with my own space was quite wonderful, whereas other people have very different experiences with that. But for me, it was tremendously calming, and I've kept that mirror necklace for 15 years. Just
That's
keeping it near
amazing.
Me to make sure when I need it. So I pull it out when I need it, and then I also would like to have a one-sided mirror necklace, so sometimes I don't have to do the introspection, you know, and just be protected. And so when I do use the mirrors, honestly, I'll tuck a little mirror into my bra. I'll put it in a pocket, someplace where nobody else sees it, and it's just my own. But you can do it for real, or you can do it in your mind. But you got to stay, you got to hold to it. It's just that having a real mirror, a little tiny circle that you go and pick up from a craft store, is powerful
right.
magic, truly powerful magic. It's
cool.
worth having.
That's amazing. Okay, and what about the white cloak?
The white cloak is something that you imagine stepping into, and that you are surrounded by white light and the white cloak, that anything that comes into your space is of the highest light possible. And that anything that isn't of the highest light, basically the energy transmutes as it comes into that white circle around you and stays into that high light.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's
really
neat.
You
got to
think, like,
okay.
when you're doing, like, body work, your hands are on somebody. Your energy immediately goes into theirs. You're connected.
Right.
That's why it's so important to create a safe space for yourself and for anyone that comes to you so that they can feel safe and protected. You are offering their most vulnerable time, and it's your job to protect them and to keep them safe and to know that if they do have an emotional release, they are in a safe place with no judgment, and they're allowed to say anything they want to say to release their muscles and their body from years of shame or trauma.
Yeah, I mean, therapists have a huge responsibility, and like you say, the person is very vulnerable and very open. Yeah. So let's talk about what some of the parts of the body represent. So what does the back represent, the muscles of the back represent as far as emotion?
Well, there's a lot of different areas.
Okay.
So the back is your storehouse. It's your protector, okay, things that come up from behind. But the upper back, like the tops of the shoulders and things like that, the traps, that represents feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders. So a lot of people carry tension in those traps because they feel like they are the only ones that can do things right. You know, if I want something done right, I have to do it myself. They're not very good at delegating out to other people and trusting that other people can do it well. And incidentally, no offense, and I'm a mother too, but mothers are notorious for carrying their stress in that area because it is one of those, I have to do it, I have to be in charge. And you feel inundated with so much pressure, except a lot of that pressure you're putting on yourself. You can get to the point where you can ask for help and allow people to help you. You just can't criticize the way they choose to do it. So that's the upper back. And then you have the shoulder blades, and that is where the betrayal holds. So if somebody stabs you in the back, that's where it goes. And it's right behind that heart space. So that's your most vulnerable muscular place, really, is behind, you know, right in those shoulder blades where people constantly complain about the pain. That is a very emotionally charged area. And you have to go very deep. And the lower back is all about moving forward and fears of financial security. So if a loss of a loved one is going to sit very low in that deep back, and it's also, you know, moving forward in your life without that person is incredibly difficult to do. So the low back is going to be one of the places that it shows itself. And then fears of financial security sits heavy in that low back. A lot of people have issues with the low back. But you also have to realize that the low back correlates exactly with the psoas. And at the beginning of this interview, we talked about that the psoas is one of the most emotional muscles in the body. It's tremendously vulnerable. It's on the other side of the low back, and it's a deep hip flexor. But that muscle originates on the spine facing the front. But it originates on the spine and then crosses around the front of the body and inserts on the upper thigh. So this whole little area in there, not to mention your reproductive organs that are in there, and that goes opposite of the low back. So they have to be always considered a unit. So if you're working on the low back and you don't think about the psoas and that area, you're 50-50. You're not going to get quite the results that you're hoping for. So the back governs a lot of different emotions, and it's really important. It's also energetically less guarded than the front of your body. You think like the front of your body has all of your vital organs, and they're facing straight out. So most of the animals on the planet, those vital organs are down to the ground, and they're you know, unless you kick them underneath, they're not showing to the world. But us, as two, you know, that we use two legs, our most vulnerable organs are facing out to the world all the time. Our heart, our lungs, our liver, our spleen, our colon, our stomach, you know, it's all there. So naturally, if you are working energetically, people are very guarded coming from the front. But if you do the same energy work coming from the back, people feel much less guarded. So a lot of times if you're working heart space or some of those vulnerable areas, I always encourage to come from the back to help let that release a little bit more comfortably for people.
Okay. What
That's
about the glutes?
No, it's
the
good.
Glutes are aggravation
and depression.
I'm fascinated. You know, I'm fascinated.
Oh.
I never really thought about the fact that our organs face forward and animals face down because they're more protected that way. That's really interesting.
They are more protected. But it makes us very vulnerable. We don't think about this kind of stuff. We just kind of take life as life, and then all of a sudden you start working with the body and realize, wow, this is all of these organs are right here, out for the world to
makes
see.
Makes sense. Yeah,
and
really
glutes
makes sense.
Are aggravation and suppression. So all the things that make you mad, you know, when somebody makes you mad but it's really not worth talking about, so you sit on it, you really actually sit on it. And into the glutes they climb, and they sit. And that's why when you go deep into the glutes, a lot of people get mad when you get in there, because some of those old stifled emotions that were just never worth talking about, they come up.
Interesting. Okay. And what about the legs?
The legs are all about moving forward And not all the time do we feel like we should be moving forward. So a lot of times we get, you know, the muscles are your power movements. But in the legs, a little bit more than other places, the joints play a big part. So you have the hips, you have the knees, and you have the ankles. And the hips are all about gathering your information. And then once you gather your information and you start to set your target on where you're going to move to, then the muscles propel you to move. But when you get into a place where you're stuck or you feel like you're standing in mud because you don't know what the next right step is, chances are you're going to start feeling it in the knees. And so you have to kind of, the muscles of the quads, and the hamstring muscles to me are more like your guards. They're like your bodyguard. They kind of just line up and go with you with whatever decision you make. I'm not going to get an emotional release out of somebody by working on their hamstrings or their quads, to be honest. You're not going to get that kind of deep level, but it is, but all those muscles are instrumental in your ability to make a decision and follow through. So they're your follow-through place. And then interesting to me, and I didn't know this myself, but I've interviewed a lot of people in this book, and I talked to a person that specializes in toe reading, and she was explaining that the ankles are your sweet spots. So if you're not enjoying the sweetness of life, it'll show up in your ankles.
Really?
Isn't that interesting? And this was, I think, fascinating, but the toes, so she's a toe reader, and we kept missing each other of when we could sit down and have an interview. And then I called her one day, not when I was supposed to, and I had noticed that my first toe was swollen. It was very odd to me, but I called her up and I left a message and I said, I'm in a writer's block. I need to meet with you. When can we talk? And she called right back. It lined up perfectly, and she said, hey, I just got your voicemail. Well, of course your first toe is swollen. If you're in a writer's block, that's the toe of communication.
Interesting.
And
gosh.
I never heard of a toe reader before.
Isn't
it nuts? I mean, it's really been such a, it was such a fascinating journey to take to get to do this, to have this opportunity and step into this. It was a large undertaking because even though I had gathered a lot of information about the muscles, I still needed a lot of backup to what I was saying. And so I went to a huge amount of people that did different specialties. And the toe reading, she's out in New Mexico or Arizona, one of the Southwest Healing Art Institutes. And she just had so much information that I had to condense it into a small amount. She's in the appendix. She does the toe reading in Appendix B. But it was so cool that once we talked, it released my writer's block, and I became totally jazzed and kept writing. And the next morning, I had no swelling in that toe.
I love it.
Isn't that
cool? You know, when it's great, you know, and that's why I love doing this show, because I learned so many things I would never, ever come across in my life, you know, because it's not really my my mission, you know, in life. It's not, I'm not taken in that direction. But I get to learn so many things like this, and this is just blowing my mind. let's talk
to
about
me, body work and healing is everything I have. Once I realized that that's what I was meant to do, I jumped in to the deep end fast and deep, fast, hard.
Yeah.
It is such a love affair that I have with the body and understanding the way that it works in such a different way than the standard. And I've watched the most beautiful transitions and transformations take place because of an emotional release where somebody really let go and allowed themselves to not bear the burden of pain. It can free your entire life. Everything can change. Everything literally can change in a day when you let go of all of those things that you've held on to that you just kind of tuck away and you thought that you dealt with what you could. But when you actually step, it's like running and then turning around and catching the ball and then going deep and then allowing all those things that have been laying there for so long, plaguing you without you even realizing it, the way that it affects your whole behavior, and then to release all of that and become the narrator, the main character, the creator of your own life, and stepping into passion and realizing that you deserve all these wonderful things and that you can earn it because you worked for it, and keep your eye on that goal, it changes who you are because you're not holding on to all these things that were inflicted on you that were not your own.
So that brings to mind fibromyalgia, which is a disorder of the muscles and a extreme sensitivity to pain. What is your theory on that?
You know, that's a really tough one because I feel like so many people take that diagnosis. It's a blanket diagnosis. So a lot of people do really have it, but then a lot of other people, when you can't figure out what it is, you throw it on there. And that's kind of difficult because it makes finding an out kind of limited. When I think of fibromyalgia, you know, I've heard so many different things, a higher protein diet, going gluten-free. I think all of those things matter. But I am a huge believer that a lot of things in your entire body and life can change if your subtle energy body is treated. And I believe that without that part being treated, you're never going to find the level of healing that is available. So I don't know necessarily about fibromyalgia as far as I don't know anybody that's totally healed from it.
Okay.
And I don't know enough about it. It's not one of the things actually that I treat. Because with fibromyalgia, most people are very uncomfortable being touched.
Yes.
So there's not people that come to me for work that have that, so it's not something. I actually specialize in lymphatic drainage, so I mostly work people post-cancer. But I don't work with people that have fibromyalgia. But I am, my own child was diagnosed on the autism spectrum, which has nothing to do with fibromyalgia. But it is considered, some people consider autism an autoimmune disease of the brain. Some people consider fibromyalgia an autoimmune disease of the muscles. But my child, through this book, actually, and finding craniosacral therapy, her brain, it was like watching her brain wake up and change completely, so much to the point where her same doctor that diagnosed her officially removed her diagnosis this year. And it is because we treated that subtle body, and it allowed her body to heal itself. And watching that was the most life-changing game changer in the world and made me realize just how specifically important it is to do that middle layer of who you are. So it's not just a physical treatment. It's not just a cognitive treatment. You have to treat that energy source of your body, and transitions will change in ways that you cannot possibly fathom.
Now, some of the things that we experience, we bring in with us, don't we? I mean, if you believe,
I believe that.
Or the listeners believe in past life and some memory and things like that, Yeah, so for children, because they wouldn't have had so many experiences in order to have these maladies, a lot of times they bring it in with them, right?
A lot of times they do, and it's, you know, I mean, I was doing Reiki on my child almost every night of my life and, you know, praying to God and the angels to heal her brain, and we saw some good changes, and we did the diets, we did the biomedical, we did the strict stuff that you had to do and the strict therapies, and in that time, we saw very little improvement. And then all of a sudden we see craniosacral therapy, which works with the cerebral spinal fluid and allows the brain to now have some space in there to go to its natural size, and it develops at its natural rate. And all of a sudden she went from 2 to 3 words at most to a 7-word sentence in 2 weeks following her first treatment. And then her developmental progress came up 14 months over a 6-month time because of that treatment that allowed her body to start healing by itself. So, you know, I do believe that there was some stuff. I had to work very hard spiritually to work with her and to bring in some of that that potentially was from past life. And I did go to a naturopath that helped me work with past life, potential past life trauma for her. We did get treated for that.
There's so many things.
Have you ever heard Deeksha?
Sorry, say it again.
Deeksha, D-E-E-K-S-H-A, Deeksha.
No,
and it is a karma cleaning of the past lives.
Okay.
It's
I've never heard it called that. Yeah. Deeksha, I'm going to write that down.
Deeksha. And, and there's even beautiful music, Om Deeksha. But I had that done, and it was really magnificent treatment.
There's so many interesting energy treatments that we can have. Yeah. So, you know, I had asked you about the fibromyalgia because I've suffered from it for several years. But right now, through acupuncture, Chinese medicine, and also through the right kind of vitamin therapy, you know, a complete vitamin protocol, I'm not suffering. But I still can't be touched. I still cannot be touched. You know, I mean, every place in my body is sore. And if I am massaged, my muscles will react differently. Instead of relaxing, they will spasm. So it is a tough one. It really is a tough one.
So I would never recommend massage to you, and I think going to acupuncture is the greatest healing modality on the planet. I really do. I think that acupuncture can change a lot of people's lives, and I wish that more people here in the States were more open to it, because I feel like a lot of people find it as a last resort when I think it should be one of your first. That's actually the most beautiful healing there is. And then if it were me, if you still needed some hands-on therapy, I would look for a Reiki practitioner.
Right, and I actually do have one, so I do that from time to time. Yeah, so I guess I'm doing everything that I can do.
You're doing it right.
I've been doing the acupuncture.
That's why you're feeling relief.
Yeah. I've been doing the acupuncture for so many years. I started when I was actually pregnant with my son because I had very bad. My first trimester I get very sick. And my acupuncturist would come to my house and really reverse my energy through acupuncture. So that was really my introduction into it. But for the last 10 years or so, I do it every single week because it's great maintenance for me. Yeah.
It is great. And it nourishes the blood and it nourishes the energy.
Yeah.
Acupuncture for me changed my life. At the time that I found acupuncture, I was breaking out in hives. And I went to a doctor who graduated from Harvard, an allergist, and she said, whatever your problem is, it's not allergies. And I was on Allegra for almost a year, which I don't take medicine. And then I went to acupuncture, and she was like, well, let's go ahead and clear that, and then we can talk about the other stuff. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, let's just clear it. I'm sure. I've been through hell with this. And I have never, from the day I met her more than 15 years ago, I've never taken Allegra ever since.
That's so cool.
And she helped me during my pregnancy as well.
I think you have to be open-minded to what you're doing also when you go in there, because some people go and have adverse reactions, and I think it's because they don't trust in the process. Because I know I send people all the time, or I tell them about it, you know, and they don't seem to get the response that I do, and I think we have to come to it on our own. We really have to believe in it, I don't think it can work if you don't truly believe in it. So,
I think it can work, but it doesn't work as well. Talk about this. Oh, I did a video about my daughter's healing story, and I talk about acupuncture because my mom had broken her ankles all the way through the whole foot, and she had surgery and everything else. And on her recovery, I took her to my acupuncturist. And then the next day, she didn't have any pain, and she started to have a really fast recovery. But to my mom, that was completely coincidental. There is no way that it was acupuncture that made her feel so much better, but somehow randomly she was so much better. And so even though she wasn't a believer, it still worked.
Did she keep back? Did she have several treatments?
No, she didn't. No, and was so much better that she really didn't need to, but it was just so funny to me that she's like, I couldn't have been that. That's just a coincidence. Because acupuncture is a subtle energy. It treats the subtle body. And so a lot of people, and you know what, that's okay with me if you think it's a coincidence as long as you have the results.
Right.
So
whatever
I think
works.
It's actually not just a mind thing, it's an energy thing. How sensitive and susceptible are you for the chi to actually flow without any sort of block? Because in my mind, even if you believe it or you don't, they still unblock that chi.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. It's just I don't understand why I've had this experience with other people, but I know for me, hands down, acupuncture and Chinese medicine have been a lifesaver for me. So I'm a huge component of it. Yeah,
it's always
good.
The one that I recommend to everyone because I actually have there's a neurologist that he was the head of the neurology in Beijing at the hospital, and he's one of the people that I refer out to here. And one of the times I was really sick, and I called him, and he listened to me, and he's like, nope, you need to see a different doctor. You need antibiotics. And I just thought, that's so important that he didn't say, no, come to me. I can do everything. Like, to him, it was just a no-brainer. Nope, I'm not the person today. You can come to me with other things. And I sent a child to him who was having a lot of autoimmune issues. And when he treated the child, he said, don't bring this child back to me until you've had an MRI. So he's very thorough. You know, he's not just there to take everybody in. And he understands that sometimes he's not the answer.
Right. It's very important for any practitioner to know what their limitations are.
Exactly.
So we're talking to my listeners.
I don't
we're
trust
talking
you if you think you can do it all.
Yeah. I know. To my listeners, we are talking today with Emily Francis, the author of The Body Heals Itself, How Deeper Awareness of Your Muscles and Their Emotional Connection Can Help You Heal. Emily, I would assume this book is available on Amazon.
Yes.
Where else can it be purchased?
It should be available at all of your local bookstores now because it just finally officially released December 8th. So it should be in your local bookstores, where Barnes & Noble, places like that, and then also online everywhere.
Oh, great. Congratulations on getting into the bookstores. That's tremendous.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
so that's my
as an author, I understand.
Well, they did that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, you know, I know how what a feat that is to get in there.
It is.
So, yeah, so you did really good work. You did good work. So in the last couple of minutes that we have, how can people reach you if they want to work with you or ask you questions or whatever?
My website. So it's Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, A like apple, Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S. So it's EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. And you can contact me. And I love when people contact me. I promise you I will write you back.
Okay, that's good to know. That is really good to know. And is there a lot of information on your website?
There is, you know, I probably need to pack it with a little bit more, but there is on my body work and my yoga training and different things that I've written. I mean, it's pretty comprehensive. And there is on the website now a free meditation on the chakras. So if you wanted to go on there and find the chakra meditation, it's free, and it takes you through the energy centers of your whole body to help you to relax and release and to balance and line up your energy so that you can lead each day optimally. I believe that everybody is meant to live their best life. I believe that it's available to each person. I personally have been down in the dumps and in a really bad place, and I created a new life out of really nothing. And started writing books when people thought I was crazy. What do you mean you're going to write a book? You know, I started writing, I'm going to write a book. You know, it's very random. But I did it to heal my way through, not this particular book, but I started a long time ago writing because I didn't know which way else to turn. And I've been through so many different therapies and trying to find my way into my own life. And I love my life, but I created that as an adult to love my life. I fell in love
yes.
with my life because it's a different life. And I believe that everybody has that opportunity to heal in magnificent ways and to have
yes.
really the best life and the best quality of life that you can possibly imagine. If you can imagine it, it can happen.
Well, what a great way to end the show. So we are out of time, but I really, really appreciate you being my guest today. I love what you
I
have
love
to say.
Here.
I love your book, The
Thank
Body Heals
so
Itself.
Much.
And you know, we'll be in touch because, you know, we talked about having you come and work with some of my employees to help them. So we will continue that relationship.
Absolutely.
I wish you great success with this book. I know it will do well. And
thank you so much.
You've been an excellent guest. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And anybody that's listening, I hope you have the best day ever.
What a great way to end it. I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
A great day. Okay.
You too. Bye.
So we are out of time. But if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. And I hope you'll join me next week for more of A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.